This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
It happens every night.
Every old night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
Summer heat never treats me kind. It leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
Nope. I don't care.
Heading my way
for another plate. No,
I don't. Three good tires.
I need to add a line about and a truck leaking oil.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to keep
low budget live. The not so live variety, and we're back. We're back in the low budget live bar and grill after many days gone. It's good to see everybody. And if you heard that new remix of Low Budget Live, my 2022 Chevy Silverado High Country's got an oil leak and it's just leaking oil everywhere. But I ain't been able to slow down long enough to get it looked at. So I'm just putting oil in it like it's a 1974 Buick. And if you remember, if you're keeping up, my last Chevrolet that I had GMC exploded on the side of the road on the way to ICAST. So I'm batting 1,000. I'm batting 1,000 on the GM products. Good gosh. Don't build them like I used to. I'm going to have to drive the 85 Blazer everywhere I go. Welcome. It is good to be back. I was just thinking, every time I leave here, it's so hard, and it looks simple. You know, a lot of people often imitated, you know, never duplicated this low budget live setup here. People think it's easy, I think, but it's kind of complicated. The more pieces of equipment we add to this, and when I take it all on the road to go to the Amazing Bassmaster Classic, it is, it's kind of aggravating putting it all back up, and I'm checking. And so if something doesn't look or sound right today, like it normally does, you know, blame the classic. I don't know. Blame somebody. Blame anybody other than me. But this is the podcast for Monday, April the 1st, and this is the April Fool's edition. No fooling around on this one, though, guys. No fooling around. Buckle up. Buckle up. We are got a lot to cover. And gosh, I mean, there's just I don't even know how to the jokes write themselves. The bass fishing world just keeps on giving. You think this is, you know, it's been kind of slow the last couple weeks, and then here we are. We've got plenty of things to talk about other than like forward facing sonar, and I say to that First, I want to say I did not get to do a podcast when I got back from the Classic. Been busy, been very busy. Obviously, we announced at the Classic the launch of Southern Boating Supply, my own company that I'm working on with some good friends of mine. And as part of, and I'm a part of a bigger thing called Woods to Water, the Woods to Water Outdoor Company. Go follow it on social media. Go follow Southern Boating Supply as well. I greatly appreciate it. We have a rep group that's on the outdoor side of things, rods, reels, gill clothing, different thing, Bahio sunglasses that I'm involved in. We also have an apparel company that my dude Fat Cat Newton is heading up there, the Woods to Water Outdoor Company Apparel. He released a few things at the Classic, more to come. He's got some really great designs he's been working on. And then kind of the third arm of that is Southern Boating Supply, which is my baby. It's my baby. It's something I've wanted to do for a very, very long time. Y'all have seen the teaser videos. Well, now it's here. And I get chills just talking about it. It's located in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. We'll be calling on boat manufacturers, boat dealers, and then to all you wonderful people, we'll be selling e-commerce as well. Got a lot of things coming, a lot of things we're working on that I'm super excited about. I got a notebook full of crazy ideas and things that are happening. And we're already doing some business out there on the OEM side. And I'm grateful for each and every OEM that's kind of let me come by and have meetings and things. It's I think it pays off 20 years of hard work to set you up for the next 20 years of your life kind of thing. But, man, I'm grateful for all the kind words, all the well wishes. And it's amazing. We're going to have some very cool merch. I like this hat. I actually didn't design this hat, but a good friend of mine, Todd Hammond, one of my partners in this crazy world, in this business, and a really good friend of mine, he had these made, and I really haven't taken this one off. It's been really fishy, too. I've been catching a lot of fish wearing this hat. So we'll have some things on the website coming up soon, but I promise you that if I learned anything in almost 20 years of dealing with people, it's that people matter. And y'all know I get passionate, and you know that I what I care about, and what I don't care about, essentially on the show. And people do matter, man. People matter. And if you choose to spend your hard earned money with a company, customers should matter. I'm a big proponent on customer service. Always have been. If somebody buys something from you, they put their faith in you. They put their trust in you that is what you said it was going to be. And if the product is not, that you'll stand by. Also, if they order it, that's going to ship on time. And look, things happen in that world. But man, I've dealt with a lot of that over recent years. And I want to strive to be a lot better than that. I want to strive to be innovative. And we got some really cool stuff coming. So thank you so much for all the kind words on that. Launched that Saturday at the Classic, kind of in all the melee and the crazy, but here we are, Southern Boating Supply, your anchor for quality boat parts. Shameless plug. But make sure you're following all the social media so you can get the updates. And I'll probably talk about it on here too, because the low lifers got my back. That is for sure in life. Let's talk Bassmaster Classic. Did not get to do one of these right after the Classic. And like I said, I didn't have a voice much either after all the shenanigans. But I just got to say, this was my first year kind of being a free agent and roaming the Classic and getting to really spend time working for the people that support me, like Baitworks, like Pro Guide Batteries, like Express Boats. And I saw so many of you lowlifers. And I signed a baby. I mean, what are we talking about here? You know, I signed a baby. But I think I say this every year, but this year more than ever, it was overwhelming to know that there's legitimately an army of y'all out there. And it's so funny, for every lowlifer dude that walks up, there's a wife or a girlfriend that's like, God, I hate your voice. Or, man, I love your voice. I hear it every week. But the significant others are like, this guy watches you all the time. And but the amount of young lowlifers, and I apologize for the terrible language that happens on the show sometimes, but I met a lot of up and coming lowlifers, but just so many conversations at the Classic. And it's always just a great event for that, for me, because I just stare at the camera. I give my opinion. You know, you see comments and things, but meeting the people that make it all happen, it's incredible. So 3 days of that at the expo, but then the Low Budget Live and the Express booth. And I'm so grateful that Express lets me have that chaos in their booth on Saturday every year. They were releasing a new boat there, and super fun, man, getting to do that. It's crazy. It's chaos. It's a guest, I guess you should say. My buddy Clay Connor, shout out Clay from Express. He sends them up there. And so it's like quick fire. It's so much fun. And then we took it to the Hunt Club in Tulsa, Oklahoma that night. And it was funny, when we got there, they said, "Hey, we canceled a cover band for tonight to let you guys have this. I hope you bring a crowd." And boy, oh boy, did they eat those words. They sold out a beer at about 9 o'clock. You lowlifers were there at about 5 when we were trying to set up, getting rowdy. And by far, the Heel in Knoxville last year was fantastic, but by far the craziest gathering, and you know, my goodness, the Fat Rascals, Ryan Engelman on lead guitar, Shannon Wheeler on fiddle, Ben Ballou on bass, and my buddy John Simpson on drums. We played music all night. Many of y'all were there. It was a night to remember. There's no doubt about it. Shannon and Ryan did their damn thing. John crushed it. Ben Ballou crushed it. And I just tried to keep up. It was a fantastic evening of music. Everybody seemed like they had a great time. There were so many industry people there. And the most overwhelming thing for me, whether it was a lowlifer or an industry lowlifer that would come up to me and thank me for what I do, and thank me for sticking up for the little guy, and all these things that they do matter to me. And it was overwhelming, man. We had Gussie there, Bassmaster Classic Champions. We had half the Elite Series field. If you were there, you know, there was some heavy hitters in that room that night. I kept looking around, I'm like, holy crap, there's so-and-so from the stage. But unfortunately, and fortunately, because I love to play, I didn't get to mix and mingle with everybody that much. It was a wild night. It was a wild night, other than it was hard to get to the bathroom. That place was not expecting us like that. They weren't ready. And I may or may not have peed in the alley like a homeless person a couple times during the night. I'm just saying. I think the statute of limitations has probably ran out on that by now. But I did indeed, like a crackhead, pee on the street of Tulsa. I don't care to tell you that. I feel like that's been done by somebody in a band before, probably. But just an awesome, awesome week, man. And while all that's going on, you got a bass tournament. And I said this on the live we did with Watson and Trey from the Hunt Club. The Classic Week has become so weird for me because I've got all the LBL stuff going on that I honestly don't, and I'm so busy during the days running around talking to people that I don't even get to check Bass Track very often. I don't get to look at the standings. And after day one, it was like 1:30 in the morning, I finally laid down on Friday into Saturday morning there, and I'm at the hotel and winding down, and I finally got to look at the standings from day one. I did not even, it's so crazy, but there's so much going on. It's two events in itself, right? And Justin Hamner goes wire to wire. Congrats to Justin. Justin is he's a real one in this industry. Know a lot about his story through my friends at American Baitworks. Shout out Walt Roberts and crew and Miss Val, but great people. And it was cool. I got to see them. Their guy won the Classic, and they were staying at the same hotel as us. It was really cool to see that. It's kind of like when Christy won in the Express, seeing the Express folks, like, just that emotion, like, our dude pulled it off. It was very, because they've had Justin's back, the American Baitworks crew, for a long time. And I know so many of his, like, Falcon Boats and the Stephen Waller and crew, and just had to be just a cool freaking moment, man. Your dude just won. You placed your bets on this guy, and he just won. Not only he just caught the biggest bass in Bassmaster Live history at Lake Fork, an 11-pounder, but just went on to win the Bassmaster Classic, 33 years old. And Hamner, seeing Miss K for the Alabama Bass Trail, so many Alabama Bass Trail folks have fished against Justin. He still fishes the 100s with us, and I've competed against him. Fantastic angler, fantastic person. But just to see all these people super excited was very cool. So congrats to Justin and his family. I hope you get that Milo's Tea sponsorship. Y'all all blow up Milo's to get Justin that sponsorship. He deserves it. I mean, if not, Darian missed an opportunity. He needs to wrap that boy's boat, y'all, sweet tea. Every time he take a sip, it needs to be y'all, not Milo's. Come on, Darian. Get it together. If you're going to be successful, you should listen to me, Darian. But Justin Hamner, congratulations. And listen, he's doing the podcast merry-go-round, as I call it. And y'all know me. I ain't ever going to walk in a straight line right behind everybody else. I've seen them all posted. He's done them all. And honestly, like, I don't know what else to talk to Justin about. Like, I'm proud for him, but y'all know I don't have the classic champ on very often for that reason, just because it's just even shows that, like, nobody cares about will somehow get a minute with the classic guy, and they ask all the same questions and whatever. So I've seen him. I'm doing a lot of them. But shout out to Panger, and I text Panger this. He got the first one Monday afternoon. Dude, that ain't easy. That ain't easy because Bass is still shuffling folks around all over the place, and there's a lot going on the afternoon after he won. And Panger went live with him on Bass Talk Live, so shout out Panger. And also want to say this about Matt. Matt, Frank Scalish. Frank's one of my fishing heroes, man. Been around Frank and competed against Frank for many years since I was a kid. And he's just such a good dude. But I will say this. Two of the first people through the door at the Hunt Club to hang were Matt and Frank. And they stayed all night. And, dude, that's how it should be. I know, listen, I am, you know, we're all competitors, I guess, in the few that are consistent with this and been after it for a very long time. And look, man, I was new to the space several years ago in 2017. And Mark Jeffries and I butted heads. That story, I told that on BTL. I respect Mark a lot and what he did for the industry. But we did butt heads, obviously. And Matt, it's cool to me to look up and see Matt there. And he's good people, man. And I know, and look, man, y'all BTLers out there, I see y'all stacking up. I see his post. Y'all show up and show out. He's always like, I can't believe you do all this live stuff. It stresses Matt out. It stresses me out until it's up and going. And then it's a lot of fun, but it is kind of stressful. But Matt's always like every year, like, dude, you're a glutton for punishment. but shout out to BTL, man. He does it. He does a fantastic show. And he got the first Justin Hamner interview. But yeah, again, thanks to the Fat Rascals, the band. Thanks to the Lowlifers. Thanks to the Hunt Club for hosting us. Fort Worth will be crazy again. We'll find. You know, we were at the Library Bar and Grill in Fort Worth last year, and I think we've outgrown that. I really do. I'm looking at other venues, and I've got some crazy ideas. We got a year to pull it off, and we'll see what happens. So, thank y'all. None of this is possible without you. Whether it's Southern Boating Supply, Woods to Water, the podcast, Alabama Bass Trail, MPFL, everything that I get to be a part of in life is because of the Lowlifers. Like, understand that. And I do not take that for granted. And I'm going to keep giving you 110% of everything I got. All right. I need a, here we go. This is the right sound effect for this. All right, let's move on. Here we go. One more time. That is the alarm for the April Fool's Awards. April Fool's Awards. We're going to hand out some, it's like the Dundies, the Dunder Mifflin Dundies. I wish I had Celsius and get a Celsius for this. These are the fool. These are March Fools, but we just clicked over. And I feel like, and they're fools all the time, I think, most likely. But first and foremost, we got to start at the top. I know why you're here. I know why a lot of y'all peeking through the blinds today that don't even listen to the show most of the time. James Watson will be on this show April the 8th. The April 8th episode will be James Watson. Okay. James is a dear friend of mine. We have been in the trenches in this deal together, and he's given us the LBL exclusive on all the bull and freaking mother of what just happened. Okay. So James Watson will not be on this episode. Some of y'all commented, I'm recording this on Easter weekend. James had stuff going on, man. He didn't see this coming. He didn't see the timing of it. He and I talked on Friday. I was out on the water with my boys. My phone was melting in half. People were texting me, did you see this? People were tagging me on social media comments, and I appreciate it. But I was out enjoying the day with my kid. I had people, man, you need an emergency press conference. And had I been here and had all that, man, the stuff wasn't even set up. But James could not record. James could not record and already had a guest lined up for today. And that was very much, and we're going to talk to him here in just a few minutes, that I'm very much looking forward to talking to. We've been going back and forth about it for a while, and it's not fair. I don't cancel guests. Like, that's not what I do. Like, if I book somebody to do the show, I'm respectful enough of their time. No matter what Boyd Duckett throws out there in the world, I'm not that thirsty for views. There are a lot of people that are. I've seen people that don't even talk about controversial anything. They're so vanilla and PC and whatever in all of this stuff. And now they're like, well, what do you think about the James Watson DQ? Hoping to get some views. Everybody's trying to play off of it. It's like forward facing sonar. It is what it is, man. Y'all know I've been running my mouth since 2017, saying whatever the hell I wanted. So we 7 years into this at this point. It's a roller coaster ride. I get that when you do controversial stuff that the views spike and whatever. But, dude, we've built a loyal platform here with loyal lowlifers. And so, yeah, I mean, we'll bring you the James Watson, and I appreciate everybody wanting us to talk about it. And it will be a doozy. It will be a doozy, but James is going to – shout out to James for giving us first right of refusal on that, as he called it, his real estate ass. He called me. He's like, Lucas, you got first right of refusal. And honestly, he's not as hot about it as like he wins in this. But let's get into this real quick, because it all centers around this show. And that's what kills me about all the videos getting made and the posts and things is like it all centers right here. And that's egotistical of me, narcissistic, as my buddy Steve, I forget what the hell his name is, I don't care, down in Florida, I forget what his name is. Yeah, he's called me narcissist a couple times, try to get views, doesn't work. He's an April Fool. But it all kind of started here, man. We bragged about it. Unfortunately, this podcast got him fined 10 grand. And as Watson said in his video that he posted the other night, he was financially profiled. There's no doubt, man. I said it when he got fined for speaking up on the show, and we read texts between him and Boyd, and that were just, it's just right in line, right? Like, Boyd plays the villain very well. He's a polarizing dude. He enjoys it though. Like, he's not a dummy. Like, understand that. He's an April Fool, but he's no dummy. He knows where this is all headed. Now, I think it's headed in the right direction for James, more so than BPT and MLF, for a lot of reasons. And let's talk about that. I've said on this show multiple times, controlling the narrative. I said that about my former employer. And one of the guys that just recently got fired from there, that was in charge of that company, was buddies with some of the guys from MLF. So it kind of all ties together. It makes sense because they're all just ridiculous at business and somehow just fall into piles of money and just overall not good people. So I think that for me, it, going back to like 2019, right? Let's do this. I wish I had my poster board. So they let I think it had 3,500 views at the time, podcast I did in this garage, like get under their skin so bad that they did indeed try to get me fired, right? Let's go back. Like, that's important to say because that tells you the integrity and character of people like Jim Wilburn and Boyd Duckett. Now, Boyd was not in the middle of that I know of. Jim Wilburn cannot handle it. He's a millionaire from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I can't believe he didn't come out to the Hunt Club. But anyways, it's neither here nor there. He's a piece of garbage. There's no doubt about that. But he tried to get me fired from TH Marine. And he did so because the former CEO there was in his boys club, right? He took them to the Super Bowl. Jim took them to the Super Bowl. It's how he ensured a TH Marine sponsorship. Took him to the PGA Championship. Took him to all whining and dining and all this stuff. And I did talk on the show about, oh, I was so glad that they had my back. Dude, they had my back because I sold $15 million worth of stuff a year, and he didn't want to look like a jackass for firing me over something about MLF and a podcast. Truly. Like, that's bottom line. I said some sentimental stuff at the time, but the truth of the matter is, there was one guy there in that company that had my back, and his name is Greg Bowie. He's like a father to me. The other guy, not so much, okay? Because he was still running with Jim. And Jim Wilburn gave his son an internship to, like, do something on an MLF production to ensure they kept their sponsorship, right? So just understand that, like, because people are like, well, man, they're obviously not doing that bad. They're not doing that bad because they got sponsors. There's a lot of backdoor BS that goes on around all this. So understand all of that as a whole. That's like sidebar. But now I can finally talk about some of this stuff. But like, that's what you're dealing with. You know, you wine and dine the main guys from Pure Fishing, like you're going to get a check from them. Like, that's sales 101. Dude, Wilburn's a master at it, and that's fine. Good for him, I say. You know, good for him. I just don't know where he sheds his skin. I've never seen it laying around like at Red Crest or whatever, but he's slithering around, ain't no doubt. But again, Boyd's hands weren't in any of that. But Boyd does become the focal point for so much hate on the internet. And even with me, and like and this is all Boyd. Understand that. Like, this Watson deal is all Boyd, obviously, and his fragile ego. But I say all that to say, dating back to 2019, like after the split, like I criticized them buying FLW. They cannot handle criticism. They cannot handle not controlling the narrative. And the problem with that is, with any business, is like, people are going to criticize you. People that are paying customers, which are what the anglers are, like, they're going to talk crap, dude. It happens at Bass. It happens at MLF. It happens at freaking Walmart. Okay. You can't control it. You can only try to be better each and every day that you get up to make sure that the criticisms become less. But when you roll in with this gigantic ego, right, that you know everything, that you're going to take out Bassmaster. And then what? What was that? Oh, it was Polinick and Swindle going back? Oh, it was Hackney and Jason Christie? Oh, it was Jacob Prosnick? Oh, those guys all left? Oh, damn. Oh, it was Randall Tharton? Oh, all those guys left? Oh. You let Mike McClellan get away. You let Jeff Sprague keep fishing, but you let Mike McClellan not requalify one of the industry veterans that's one of your owners. Oh, okay. Matt Becker catches the same fish twice, has admitted to it multiple times. You blame it on the tournament director. It's definitely not Matt's fault in any kind of way. Wink, wink. Ridiculous. And then he wins Angler of the Year and he's heralded. Huh. We don't do anything about that. Stories after story of failed polygraphs over and over and over, paying fines to get out of failed poly. For years, you hear this stuff. You hear it. Don't do anything about that. Keep controlling the narrative. 497 changes nobody can keep up with. Keep controlling the narrative. Massacre the payouts in the BFLs. Keep controlling the narrative. Things aren't well. If you're focused on, and I actually told one of their biggest anglers this. He and I got in a back and forth about something. Someone commented on my YouTube channel. I'm like, dude, why are you living in the comments? Like, life is good. You're winning a lot of money. Like, why would you dig around in the YouTube comments, right? That's where people that don't have anything to do live, like myself. And it's one of those deals where, like, if you're focused on things like this podcast and or fake, like the Jim Jones bass fishing page that was all like, dude, they all hired a damn like private investigator to try to figure out who was doing that. And you had MLF wives in there and anglers, and we know who it is. It's clearly Trait Zeldane. It's this and it's that. And it was just bananas. It's Luke Duncan. It's like, no, it ain't. Luke says what he says to a microphone and to a camera. He's never had a fake page in his life. Now, I do run two social media accounts now. Southern Boating Supply is one of them. You can follow along at Southern Boating Supply. But it's the only multiple accounts I have. But like these, like, you're trying to run a business and you're worried about all those things. Like, tell me your business, your not worried about the business without telling me you're not worried about the business. Like, you worry about these petty little things. What's the saying? Like, lions don't, you know, worry about sheep or whatever the saying is. Can't remember it right now. I'm all juiced up on Celsius this morning. But the great rapper T.I. say there's a reason that the trees grow taller than the grass. I love that. I love that saying. But you worry about these things. And with the Watson thing, these guys are paying thousands of dollars. And listen, James is the only one that's really vocal about it for the most part. It's getting a little more unhinged for him with all these. And they know that. And I think James was fined, and then they let all the anglers know about the fine for the first time. They've let the anglers actually know something on purpose that he was fined 10 grand to try to quiet down what could be coming. Listen, I was at Red Crest. I talked to a lot of their veteran anglers, and the same ones that were pissed at me in 2019 that were like, we got Boyd and Jim's back, definitely don't anymore. Right? Like, they're not happy. Sponsors aren't happy. There are things that are happening within that organization that you should be worried about, but an FBD hack comes out in a fishing podcast and you can't handle it. Come on, dude. Come on, dude. And it's all set, though. All these things are set up to indeed control the narrative. But the overwhelming theme about Boyd, and this has nothing to do with other people within the FLW camp, the old FLW folks, I love them all. I talked to them for a very long time at Red Crest, hug necks. There are a lot of great people within that organization. But when you, like, we had just had this boat wreck, and those are the boat incident on the Harris Chain, those are two April Fools as well. They win awards, but you don't suspend them. Like, you don't do anything as much as you do to Watson. And truly, man, you just show once again that you have thin skin and you have no integrity. None whatsoever. Now, I know he's got a podcast now, old Boyd. He's got old White Rods himself. He's got a podcast. And so I'm sure it'll be absolutely, he'll probably lean back. He likes playing the villain, man. And we all play right into it. Like, he enjoys, I've had multiple people, dude, what do you think he thinks about it? Dude, he knows what's coming. He loves it. He gets off on it, I'm convinced. That's what narcissists do, right? And I think, you know, I've talked to a lot of their anglers that do feel like they need an overall leadership change. And they do. And there were a lot of them that were glad that Wilburn was trying to get out of the way. And he's still slithering around all the time in the background. And a guy like Boyd, man, just dumb decision after dumb decision based on emotion. James Watson is a veteran. He was a drill sergeant in the Army. He's fought for this country, fought for freedoms. Y'all play the national anthem every morning. I've said this on this show multiple times, but then a guy can't speak his mind about the fact that he thinks things are not good, that hands you 30 or 40 grand a year. Like, it's obnoxious to even think about. And I would say that if you're an angler on the Bass Pro Tour, I don't care if you're a young guy. I don't care if you're Jacob Wheeler that wins and Dustin Connell that wins all the time that do benefit from it. There are about 10 guys over there that do benefit from being a part of the Bass Pro Tour, but they would benefit if they were fishing the, you know, because they're so good and they're so good at what they do from a social media perspective and all that. It doesn't matter, dude, if they were fishing Tuesday nighters, they would be the dudes, right? Like, understand that. But if you're one of those guys, and I know Jacob's sponsored by Boyd, and I would say this to him. Jacob and I have a good relationship most of the time, and I would say this to him. If you're anybody in that organization and you think this was a good idea on the James Watson thing, regardless, James poked the bear. James poked the bear. He's got hats that say FBD and Boyd's colors. I get it. I told him, I said, dude, he's going to retaliate. There ain't no doubt. He can't handle it. But if you're anybody in that organization and you think this was a good idea, if you're an angler and you think, well, because I've had a couple of them say, well, James was asking for it. If you think that way, just get ready to keep getting spoon-fed more bull because you ain't got no freedom over there. Not freedom of speech. I can't lose my job. Buddy, you fish 8 weeks a year. You fish 8 weeks a year. Figure it out. Figure it out. Start being like actual men. Stand up for each other. Speak up. Don't quietly send me texts thanking me for what I say on this and what other people say on podcast, and then cower around and act like it ain't going on. All this was to do is to let all of you know, you other 79, you better shut up and fall in line. Period. End of story. It's what the fine was about, and it's what this is about. Nobody wins afraid of losing. That's a line in a Chris Stapleton song. And man, it hits me every single day when I'm working on Southern Boating, when I'm working on this. Can't be scared, man. Can't be scared. But from the top anglers, Edwin Evers, Jacob Wheelers, Dustin Connell, Mark Daniels Jr., Mark Davis, Skeet Reese. And I'm not just calling those out. Everybody over there, you better realize, dude, this ain't good. Like, this ain't good. Like, it's not. Whether you love James, hate James, he can be polarizing. James can be a lot. But buddy, the fact that none of y'all got his back on this is silly. It's silly. And y'all are April Fools as well if you keep thinking that this is a good idea or that things are going well. Because it's not. It's not going well. It is not going well. It is not going well. You can't walk in that Bassmaster Classic and then walk in Red Crest and think things are going well. You can't sit through meetings where you finally get told, well, we're changing the format from this to 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 this and then back to this and then no entry fees, but then we got entry fees. Like, how can you wake up on a daily basis and think things are going well? It's not. It's not. Doesn't need to fail. For a lot of you anglers' sake, for the industry's sake, a lot of going on, a lot of good people. But you better wake up. You better wake up because this right here, this little press release that got sent out on Good Friday is not good. It's not good in any freaking way. If you think it is, keep on drinking that Kool-Aid. Hey, 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 get you another dose of it. Get you another dose of it. I don't know, man. I mean, I see this thing playing out that you know, eventually it'll just be the Duckett tour. Will there just be 10 guys that just all sponsored by Duckett and then it just doesn't matter? Like, if it keeps going this way, what's happening, man? Look at the comments on social media. Look at the people that are just all saying FBD, fish boat docks. Fishing boat docks is illegal. Look at that. And then when you lay your head down at night before your next tournament at Dale Hollow, think about the fact that James Watson, especially if you're one of those anglers, and they got many of them on the Bass Pro Tour that do things the right way. Not the Jeff Sprague's, not the Spencer Shuffield's, not the, which Spencer was penalized, but not the Matt Becker's, who blatantly, like, they all did this stuff on, there are several more that I could name, but they got away with stone cold, you know, look up at the sky, thank you, as they were cheating, catching the same fish multiple times. There was a bunch of that going on. There's a bunch of them that were worried about losing their careers. Man, this could be a black eye. You cheated. So many of them. But when you lay your head down before the first day of practice at Dale Hollow and you're like, man, three letters on a hat got one of the most watched, one of the biggest personalities, one of the best dudes that actually stands up for what's right, suspended, kicked out, banned, gone. And then whenever I blast off on day one, I got cheaters all around me and they're still here. And they get to be here. But James is going to be sitting on the deck of his $1 million house on Table Rock smoking a cigar, and he's going to be all right. But all y'all ain't. I'm telling you, man, you better wake up and pay attention. Wake up and pay attention. This is absurd. And boy, I would just say, dude, just get some thicker skin. Just get some thicker skin. If you're going to keep on making mistakes, people are going to keep on talking about it. But I will end that April Fool Award. That's the biggest April Fool right there with, this right here. Congratulations, Boyd and FBD, indeed. All right. Some other April Fools, the clowns that had the boat wreck. What are you doing? I mean, I've seen a little bit of clips of the video. I don't know all the details, but I know that they should have just been banned for life and absolutely absurd. An April Fool award goes to Randy Blanket. Randy Blanket, can't say his real name because if you do, it's like Beetlejuicy pops up. Dude, Randy has got this like subs. I saw him post the other day. It pops up on my Facebook feed, and I don't know why because I don't follow him. But he does because he gets so much traction. Over 100,000 subscribers, and congrats to him, man. Listen, congrats to Randy on that. He found a way, just like we all find a way in life. But the problem I have with Randy is like, this is cheating or just the nonstop. You know, I told you this would happen. The videos about LiveScope and stuff. And the reason I say Randy Blanket is I do indeed need a blanket when I watch it because I'm going to take a nap. If I see 30 seconds of his clips, I'm like, and a lot of y'all love it, man. And shout out Randy for it. Shout out Randy for it. He's got it. He's got it figured out on how to, people love, they love that, man. They love to pick sides and they love cancel culture, obviously. And so, and that's another thing like the James Watson. If you support that, like, come on, man, cancel culture at its finest. But Randy Blanket, his Bassmaster Classic videos, I saw him pop up, were just like, what? And now he's back on like the bedfish thing, which he's been on for 20 something years, and like just regurgitates the same material over and over. But y'all keep subscribing and liking and commenting, and it keeps going up. And dude, I'm sure he's making a good bit of money off of you. So, and listen, I don't hate the player, I hate the game. So, congrats, Randy Blanket, on his April Fool Award. And the last one. And I'm not gonna spend much time on this. This dude is—he doesn't deserve to even be mentioned on this platform at all. But I think his name is Steve Chapman. I don't know. I've met this dude several times because he always comes up to me and tells me what a fan of Low Budget Live he is over the years, and dating back to like the first MPFL season, he's done multiple little videos. He very much tries to do a Low Budget Live. Like he had a. I've been told he had a fishing show in Florida of some kind, like a radio show that I'm sure 17 people listened to. I'm sure it was exhilarating from the clips I've seen of the other stuff he does, but he did very much try to set up like whatever this is. Like he tried that. And, the very first one he ever did, he was dogging MPFL, which is fine. I don't care about that at all before it even started. But he had some things to say about me and I called him out personally. And I think literally like he peed down his leg, and then like the next time I saw him, he wanted to shoot a video with me. And where was the next time I saw him? Oh, at an MPFL event. And then I saw him right after that at ICAST, and he did the same thing again. It's back in 2021. Guy's a cupcake, like a total cupcake, but he likes to pretend to be a tough guy on a camera. It's weird, man. And I get sent clips of him from people from time to time because somebody watches this stuff. Not many, but some people watch this stuff. Get your fish on. I get sent clips. But on this Watson deal, he made a video because everybody's in a view grab, you know, over that. I'll assure you, if you listen to a dumbass like him about anything going on in pro fishing, this dude is so removed from all of it. He ain't involved. Dude, that guy... he ain't even behind the scenes. Like, understand that. I'm grateful for all the relationships I have and to be able to talk the stuff and bring you guys. Like, but like, when one of the first phone calls James Watson made on Friday after the announcement, it was to me, right? Like, this guy, like, he's my friend. Like, all this happened on my show. But this clown, this Steve, I think that's his name. That's what he does on his video. He goes, he used my content and Chris and Trait's content. I only could stomach 45 seconds of this, okay? But to get views. He used our podcast to get views to act like he was going to break down the Watson situation. He's got the clickbait thumbnail, the whole nine. And he's very pro-Boyd, of course, because he always tries to take the opposite of what he thinks I would say, or Chris and Trade, or whoever, to try to get views. And I think he got 3,000 views. And look, dude, congrats. Congrats. That was awesome. I'm sure, I'm glad you did that. But he does this deal where he plays my content and then he says, I think it's called Low Budget Live. I think it's Low Budget Live. That's what he did when he dogged me out one day. He's like, I think his name is Luke Duncan. And then this son of a comes up to me and asks for selfie videos and tells me what a fan he is, and he does not miss an episode. He's done this multiple times. Multiple times. Multiple times. But now he's using my content to talk crap about my friend James Watson in all of this, to side with the devil to try to get views. And I've avoided talking about this clown on here multiple times because he does not deserve the attention. I'll be honest. He deserves to just keep living whatever life he lives down in Florida where nobody cares that he exists. But like using my content and using people like Trey and Chris that work hard, to actually lay it out there, actually tell the truth, actually tell what they actually feel about this stuff, Steve. Like, give me a break, dude. So you get to win you an April Fool Award. And look, I know you'll probably print it out and put it on your shelf behind your live bait thing that you got behind you there. It's funny. I got one of those right over here, too. It's weird. I used to film in front of it. That's crazy, huh? Bananas, man. Florida man thirsty at 50 for views. That's what your next clickbait should be. Feel free to use this clip, Steve. You didn't ask me on the other ones. I bet you didn't ask Trey and Chris either. Now, I understand that's how the internet works. But don't act like you don't know who I am. And don't act like you're not a fanboy. And then talk crap. Don't do that. Get your fish on. There you go. It's the most views you'll ever get, Steve. Congratulations. All right. Moving on. We got a great guest today. Great guest today. But before that, I got to thank the people, because the lowlifers make this show happen and the sponsors. And after the classic, if there's one thing I know, the sponsors absolutely have my back, man. So many of y'all, and you know who you are, but I want to start by saying a huge thank you to all of them. They're at the Low Budget Live. They handed out all kind of stuff in the Express booth at the live podcast, but it was all good. And, I've got a really great group of people that work with me, and look, they're not technically, I'll talk about them every week, but the folks at Eagle Call, Trocar, always got my back, man. They're sharing Southern Boating stuff. They're amazing. Go check out their new drop shot hooks. Absolutely incredible. But let's jump into this. Y'all know I try to keep it tight these days on the time frame. So here we go. Fish Tips, fishtips.com. You can use code LBL10 at fishtips.com to save on your first tip. But these are guides and pro anglers that are telling you where to catch fish. Maybe you want to take your boat and go fish a lake you've never fished, but you don't want to fish with a guide. Well, there are tons of tips available at fishtips.com. So you can get the juice. You can get the juice. You can find out all sorts of things. Maybe you want to find out how to set your depth finder up a little bit better from somebody like a top pro. There are lots of them on there. Go check it out. Fishtips.com. Just the tip. Right there. 34 seconds. Killed it. Gillfishing.com. Get on gillfishing.com. Use code LBLGIF. When you spend $100, you're going to get a Voyager day pack, a little waterproof backpack right now for spending $100 and being a low lifer. Get you a new rain suit. Get you some boots. Get you some of them sunglasses. Get a, hey, it's bucket hat season. They got a sweet one on there. They've got all sorts of things to get you right in all kinds of weather conditions at gillfishing.com. Code LBLGIFT. Use that there. Pro Guide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com. Holy cow, their new chargers. Listen, I cannot wait. Cannot wait. They got a new 5-bank that is absolutely insane. You can set up what type battery right on top of the charger. They look good. They work good. They got this built-in fan that keeps them, like, the fan system is incredible that they've got on these things to keep them cool. All different variations. Check them out, ProGuideBatteries.com. The new chargers are where it's at to go with their lithium batteries, man. Like, they such a great company. I say it all the time. They're not a fly-by-night. They've been around for 40 years. Support the people that support the industry. They support a lot of great anglers. ProGuideBatteries.com, LBL10 saves you money there. Bait-works.com, bait-wrx.com. That's where you can find the LOB jig. And so many of y'all came to the Baitworks booth at the Classic to get Rooster, and Rooster is a fish catcher. Holy crap. I got to spend some time with the Rooster this week, and them old bigs like it. I'm getting tagged in social media stuff. We sold a ton of them there. That new Rooster color, you can use code Duncan-10 at bait-wrx to get you some for yourself, or maybe it's mag draft season, maybe coal shad, maybe get on there and get you all kind of stuff. Baitworks has got it in stock. Bait-works.com. And last but not least, hang the freaking banner. Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas, the manufacturers of that beautiful X21 Pro LE that I'm running right now with the 250 Yamaha Show C-Deck bow to stern. More storage than you can shake a stick at. Fastest hole shot in the game. But they just released the new H20, rated for a 175, the H20, the Hyperlift series. They've had other sizes in that, but they just released the H20. Go check it out online. Go check it out at a dealer soon. They'll be available. The first one was at the Classic, so they'll be out there. I promise you, if you're looking for a bigger boat, excuse me, than the X19, this 20 obviously falls right in line between the 19 and the 21 in the H series, so won't hurt the bank account at all. Times are tough. Maybe you're looking for a new boat, a little bit bigger boat, ready for a 175. It's going to run in the low 60s, but the H20. Go check it out, expressboats.com. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. And on that note, before I leave the Express read, Clay Connor, their vice president of marketing, has retired. We threw him a party there on Low Budget Live. We tried to get a lot of folks up to talk about Clay, but I just want to say congratulations to Clay and thank you to Clay. He is he's a dear friend of mine. And he's always one of those people in life that likes to check me up and keep me in line. So I'm grateful for that. Clay Connor, the great CC, heading into retirement, going to run that RV all over the country. All right, our guest today is a fantastic individual. He's a wild man. He's a wild card. And I had him booked before all this craziness happened, and he and I have texted back and forth about it a lot. He's got some opinions on it as well. Just qualified for the Elite Series. He top 20, I believe, Toledo Bend right there, 20th or 21st. Then he top 10s Lake Fork. Then he goes on to top 10 the Classic, 7th place in the Classic, Bassmaster Classic, man. His first ever Classic. Unbelievable. He has one of the funniest social medias. Like, the dude puts in work. He's been on my radar for a while now. Got to know him through Gerald Swindle a couple years back. But ladies and gentlemen, give it up for KGP Fishing himself, Kyle Patrick. All right, as promised, here he is, Elite Series rookie. And I'm going to say on the verge of being one of the next bass fishing superstars. His social media is killer. He has got a personality for days, and we're glad to have him. Kyle Patrick, welcome to Low Budget Live.
Oh, great to be here. I've watched this show for a long time, man. Well, as long as it's been around. And, yeah, it's cool, and I appreciate the kind words. I don't know. I feel like I'm not going to be the next.
What? I mean, dude, but think about this. So
you got to remember, though, before you say something, like, this is so new to me. And like, it feel like when I'm in the weighing line, it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm just going to beat these guys. Like,
no, yeah.
I'm like, holy smokes. Like, you know, that's Brandon Polinick. Holy smokes. That's Gerald Swindle. Like, it's still like that for me. You know what I mean?
I get it. And you're not, I know you're not a cocky dude. You're a humble dude. And I know you understand the position you're in. You're the new guy. You're a part of this amazing rookie class we're seeing this year, and you worked your butt off to get here. But I think when I say superstar, that means a lot of things. Are you going to be the next Kevin Van Dam? We don't know that yet. You're too early in your career to even throw that kind of stuff out there. But I think you are, though, the total package. And what I mean by that, dude, your social media, and social media is king. I don't care what anybody says. That and forward facing sonar. Wink, wink. Let the comments know. But man, like you went out, like when you're in the opens, these videos that you start putting up that just blow up. They're always in that, like the Discover feed. That's when you know somebody's doing things the right way. I've been at this for a very long time, since like 2014, 15, hanging around fishing social media. So almost 10 years. And dude, you start seeing that it's I see people using your audio that you created for so many videos. And I'm like, that's how you know. But that's what I mean, man. Like you are on this rise, and I see interviews from the Classic, and I see your sponsors so proud to be working with you, man, whether it's Yamaha or Missile, so many different ones. And so that's what I mean by that is time will tell, dude, if you're going to win 37 Angler of the Years and all the like right now, man, the Kyle Patrick star is bright.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I think that, you know, I focus a lot on fishing, but I feel like I focus just as much on, like, you know, the, like you said, the full package, like making my sponsors happy, doing as much as I can on the media side, because that matters a lot too. And I think a lot of people, I'm going to say people, I'm going to keep it broad. A lot of people forget that's what you need to do, because it's easy to focus on fishing when you're, you know, winning tournaments or top 10ing every event. But when you have a slump for a year or two and you're not dialed on the other stuff, it's easy for you to kind of fly under the radar and not, you know, progress. Like, you know, you got to have something to fall back on when times get tough tournament fishing wise. Right. Like,
yeah. And I think a lot of veteran pros, they hate that about where the industry's at now. And look, man, I don't necessarily disagree with it, but they're the days of, well, I got in a magazine article, or I said this on a weigh-in stage with a patch on my shirt and all that. Those days are over. Like, they just are.
It's, we live in saturated.
It is. And even fishing social media is oversaturated. You've got to find a way to stand out, which you've done very well. And I feel like I've always tried to do different things, because we just talked about, like, shout out Justin Hamner for winning the Classic, but he's done 37 interviews, and I would rather talk to Kyle Patrick give you some, you know, like top 10 it, man. I'd rather get the deets on what it's like to be the dude in the top 10 in your first Classic. And Justin's going to tell everybody exactly how he caught him, and he loves that Milo's tea and all that. But this is kind of what I've done on LBL, just a little bit, you know, a little bit outside the box. And I think that's, it's so important though for young anglers. I know you got a lot of fans, a lot of young fans, to understand that. And I say this on the show all the time, the fishing business is changing. It's changing rapidly. The tournament world is changing rapidly, but you have to, it can be exhausting. It can be a daunting task, but you have to be good at all of it. If you're not, you will not survive. And that goes for the Jake, like, look at Jacob Wheeler and like Dustin Connell. I'll use them for a perfect example. They're winning everything. You don't ever see the social stuff slow down, whether it's YouTube, you know what I mean? Like, they put in time on the water and off the water, and like all that really freaking matters, man. It does. Gerald is one of the guys I use in his example when Jacob Fouts, like the stuff came up. He's like, well, I don't want to do social. I want to fish for a living. I should make money because I'm on the Elite Series, that whole deal. I'm like, look at Gerald Swindle.
Yeah.
He ain't got to, trust me. And he does. Yeah. He's been very successful. So kudos to you for doing that, man. For the low lifers out there, Northeast, like, I'm a Bubba Bass fisherman down here. Like, guys from the Northeast, like, it's not easy to compete. And you roll to Texas and then Oklahoma and just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
I'm Kyle Patrick, man. How'd you get into this?
Yeah. So I've said this before on another podcast and stuff. But so I first met you, right? And you reminded me of this backstage with Gerald. I was staying at Gerald's place through a connection. The guy's name is Paul Pagnotto. He's, you know, a businessman. Like,
shout out Paul.
Shout out Paul. He is dialed in on the business side of stuff, to say the least. We'll just put it like that. Okay. You know, he sold multiple companies for ungodly amounts of money. Anyway, the guy's successful. And he also, like, loves the fishing industry, loves Bassmaster, you know, still wants to help on that side of things, by the way. And he connected me with Gerald because he was like, Kyle, I'm going to pay for all your entry fees to fish as a co. And this is 2021. He's like, you can fish all of them as a co, or six of them as a co, and then I'll pay for you to fish three of them as a boater. So I was like, okay, yeah. Like, I quit my job.
21. This is
21. Okay. 21. So I quit my job. I was working at Douglas Outdoors, selling rods, like driving across the country selling rods. And I was like, I had this opportunity. The owner was like, dude, go ahead. That's awesome. You know, I still did some stuff for them, but, and then, you know, I went and, fished the centrals and finished 180, 160, and then 60. and, you know, just learning, because that was a tough, you know, division. But long story short, he introduced me, the key stuff is he introduced me to Gerald and John Cruz and Chad Morgan Taylor and all these guys. And he also paid for me to marshal all the elites. This dude was just like, here you go, man.
Hey, hang on a second. When this is over, can you give me Paul's number? I'm going to have a business opportunity. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome.
It was just fortunate, right?
I've met Paul in the past. Like, Gerald speaks very highly of my friend Darian. We talked about that before we started the show, but yeah, great, great human being.
Yep. I just got lucky and met him and, like, showed my passion to fishing. And he was like, yeah, man. Like, he's just a super good guy, like, good people. Anyway. And so, you know, I was staying at G's house. I forget why. I think before that Lewis Smith opened when I was fishing as a boater.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yep. I met you and I think I finished 100, whatever it was, something terrible that late.
Not right by me.
Yeah. Right. And, yeah, man, it was just that was the start of it, right? Like, everyone needs in this industry, especially to be a professional angler, everyone needs a little, unless you've got it. Right. Unless you've got, like, the financial backing already, everyone needs a little bit of a boost, because it is so tough, man. Like, yep. You know what I mean? Like, that was my, like, jump right into where I could be like, OK, we're going to try to do it, because I knew that I only had 2 to 4 years after at that point to make my, you know, to grow my brand, build my, you know, fishing skills and, like, you know, try to make it to the Elite Series, because you can only do it for so long, man. Like, it's so expensive and the opens is so bad, like the payouts are so bad.
And the grind of it all too, right? Like, mentally, physically, like, it's not, you know, it's a lot easier, and I say this on the show a lot, it's a lot easier just to go get a job. Like, if you want to make a living and go fishing because you love fishing on the weekends and whatever, it's a lot easier just to go do whatever you want to do. To be a professional angler is not a walk in the park. It's just not.
I had a great job. I literally was working in the fishing industry. I love the fishing industry, everything about it. I love all the anglers. I have no hate for anybody, because I love just our fishing industry.
Well, you know, not, I mean, like FBD, come on.
Continue. Well, yeah, fair enough. Like, that is a special situation. I love fishing boat docks, and I will forever love them. And I'm pissed that it's illegal. Okay. But
all right, I can't help it. I got to get it in there so many times, like a drinking game.
Yeah. Like, I enjoyed it, and, you know, I took a stab at it. That was basically it, with the help.
Love it, man.
There's no doubt that I had help. Right.
Well, I think that the narrative that gets thrown out there, this viewpoint that you see from people that get heavy on the keyboards of, well, these young guys, they got rich parents, or they got this, or they got that. Dude, having help's not bad. Not everybody's got it, and that's fine, right? Like, so there are, but I still think that what gets lost in those stories that people invent in their mind, they're like, well, the old school guys didn't have any help. Yeah, they did.
At some point
to do this, even in 1991, somebody came along to make sure that angler A, that you love so much, was able to keep doing it. Because all of them have a story about, well, I was done if I didn't catch them at the Potomac because I didn't have gas to go. And then I won. Right. Or I met this dude in the parking lot and he handed me 10 grand. There are so many of those stories out there.
I mean, look at Bill Owens' story about his family. That's a sad story, but it's also an inspiring one.
Yes. Yes. Right? It's incredible.
Like, that's the same thing. I mean, it's not the same thing. I don't want to put that.
No, but it is that. You know, luck is, you know, preparation meeting opportunity. You're doing what you need to do, and the universe, you collide with, and listen, you're looking right at living proof of that many times over in my life. I'm a dumb redneck from Southern Middle Tennessee that runs my mouth, dude, that just loves fishing and I love music. And, like, that's just kind of been my life since I was 12 years old. And look, so easy a caveman can do it. I'm an overnight sensation after 20 years. I joke about it all the time. Like, but I've had those moments in life where you go, okay. Like, later, you look back and you go, yeah, well, that was one where this dude opened this door and that happened, but I was standing at the door.
Right.
That's important for everybody to understand about a Kyle Patrick, a Trey McKinney, whoever, you're standing at the door when the door opens. If you're sitting on your couch complaining that the door's never open for you.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a lot of that going on.
There's a lot of that, man. And I'll say this before we move on. This is one of my favorite jokes of all time, but there's a guy every night. He was known as a cheapskate, right? And every night he'd pray every single night. God, if you would just let me win the lottery, my entire life would change. God, just please let me win the lottery. And night after night after night. And finally the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said, Jerry, I will let you win the lottery, but first you got to buy a dadgum ticket.
Exactly.
And that's it, right?
That's exactly it. That's good.
That's it, man. It's like, well, I could be pro if, or I could do this if I had that forward-facing sonar, if I could do this if I knew the right people. Well, dude, if you ain't ever in the right spot or you're not ever standing at the door knocking on it trying to get in, it doesn't matter. So that's what I would like to say. If you got a dream, you can't be afraid to chase it. And these guys are not afraid to chase their dreams.
It starts small too. That's what it talks about. Like,
yeah,
it starts with little things, right? Like, okay, I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to ask Douglas if I can be an on the road sales rep, drive around the country, because hey, if I just stay in my small club, which I have more respect for my club than anything, right? But if I stayed there and like tried to just fish my way to the top, like that's a lot harder than meeting the right people across the country. Yeah. Because it's not just New York that bass fishes, or just Alabama, or just, you know, Kentucky, or just wherever, Oklahoma. You got to get out there, meet people. Because that was step one for me. Was I was like, I need to meet as many people as I can, right? So I met you, I met Gerald, I met John Cruz, like all these connections down the line, I thought, you know, it might help me better. And it did.
Well, I'll never forget, and Trey and I, we laugh about this. So we remember we were staying in that really terrible house trailer.
It was great. I liked it.
Yeah. Well, it was, I don't know if great's the word for it. Trey's ex-girlfriend, and she actually broke up with him over this. She actually booked it for us. And we talked about it on the podcast, and she broke up with him the next week. It's one of my favorite things that's ever happened. Other than Watson getting suspended and fined because of the podcast. That's my other like claim to fame, right? Is getting Trey out of a bad relationship. So we met Kyle Patrick, and Kyle comes in, dude, and you are larger than life. I mean that. Like, and you're with G, and when somebody kind of outshadows G, because when he gets on one, you know, G gets on one, right? And you were just like, I'm like, dude, this guy is ate up with this stuff. Like, you were, but I'll never forget, this is what you said to me.
My eyes were probably like this, too. You were
dialed. Like, you were ready to go. And this was like the night before the tournament. We're out there. Everybody's talking crap about how they're going to catch them the next day, and you're staying with G, and you said, man, I figured this deal out. Me and Trey, your name never comes up. We're like, you remember that time Kyle was so dialed? You said, man, I figured it out. Because it was very stingy at Smith. You're like, I'm flipping wood. And you're like, I flip in there the first time and I'll catch a short. I flip in there the second time, I'll catch another short. And on the third time, I'll catch an over. You told us that. I was like, that boy. I was like, buddy, I ain't been flipping my jig enough times. When you left, I was like, listen, man, I don't even think about fishing like this dude thinks about fishing. I was like, when he gets on a roll, it's going to be trouble. And it has been, bro. Like, here you are. But that was my first Kyle Patrick experience. You're like,
let's be honest. You were probably like, this guy is out of his mind.
A little bit. But so am I. So real respect's real. Right. Like, he's completely a psychopath, but I like it.
That's hilarious, dude.
But that was my first Kyle Patrick experience in this terrible. We're all crammed in this house trailer standing around telling fish stories. And you're like, I figured it out. Yeah. This is the deal. And I was like, dude, he's either going to win or not. None of us won that week.
You
were staying with G there, man. And then I'll never forget though, Trey, like you and Trey got to talk and stay with each other and stuff, and Trey would be like, he's like, his obsession with getting to the elites, like, dude, he won't be stopped. He's like, I promise you, Kyle. He told me, I guess it was the year he got DQ'd up there at Chesapeake, which would have been, I guess, the next year, 22. And you finished what? Top 10 that year or 15?
Yeah, I finished ninth because of track. I would have bombed if I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, but you were right. You were right there. And he's like, dude, Patrick is like, Kyle, make it. Like, he'll be in. And then fast forward to 23, dude, and it was all gas, no brakes. And that click, that group of you guys that have now taken it to the Elite Series, you're trouble. you boys are trouble. Yeah. How glad are you? And I feel like this will be the easiest question. How glad are you to just have that over with, though, and be at the Elites?
Dude, it couldn't. So, again, very fortunate because you can be – there are – like Trey, right? There are 50 guys in the Opens right now, in the EQs, that could have been on the Elites and done very well.
1,000,000%.
Fact. That's a fact. And anyone that says otherwise, they don't know. They've never pitched an Open, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I feel fortunate and very – you know, blessed that I was able to do it then, especially with the MLF changes that are happening. And, you know, dude, it's not getting any easier. I promise you that. Like, you know,
you're going to get suspended just for saying that.
Right. But, it was, you know, and people are always like, oh, they just jumped in, they looked at LiveScope and they qualified. It's like, dude,
that easy, man. It's that easy.
Right. Like, man. I fished all of, I mean, I didn't, I wouldn't say I was close in 2022, but I was right there. I think I finished like fourth out or something. And I fished the bank in like 7 of the 9, right? Like a lot of what LiveScope is, the reason LiveScope's so prevalent is because the schedules are lining up to fish with LiveScope.
If they're not up there, they're not up there.
Dude, when people talk about like, oh, like, you know, don't get me wrong, it's good, but people don't realize, like, tell me it's good. If I'm Florida, for example, that's going to be an interesting one because I do not think it will play as much as people, you know, think that it will. But
those two back-to-back events coming up. Yeah.
I mean, people may run to Rodman and catch him on LiveScope. Yeah, sure. But dude, it's brutal. It's going to take 9 pounds a day to get a check.
Listen, the Harris chain weights from the Toyota series were just grotesque. Yes, pitiful. And that's one of my favorite places I've ever been in the state of Florida. Like, it used to just be fantastic, man. It makes me sad to see what's going on down there.
Well, I think they had a 35% fish kill.
Something like that. That's what I heard. Yeah. With all the, like, they poison the grass, like it's nonstop, man. It's pitiful. Yeah,
it is. But no, I mean, it's
not any videos about that though, Kyle Patrick. We've talked about not many videos about that though. We'll talk about forward facing to death, but we won't say anything about that.
Yeah. But no, so, but to, you know, what I like about the nine, right? Everyone has their own style. Everyone's good at LiveScope. Yes, that's true. Or forward facing sonar, but everyone's kind of got their own, you know, like Tyler Williams, he throws a jig offshore. That's what he does. It doesn't matter if we're in Florida. It doesn't matter if we're in New York. He is throwing the jig offshore, period. That's what he does.
Right? I'm a fan too, by the way. Like, I kind of fanboy out over Tyler a little bit. I didn't know him. I didn't have the pleasure. Like, I met you years ago, got to know you a little bit over the years. But, like, I didn't know Tyler till the Elites and seeing him through the Opens a little bit. But, dude, he's another one of those stars on the rise, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's just a unique group, and I'm the second or third oldest, which is just weird for me.
Now you say group, so do you guys? I know you room with Wes. But do you guys all collectively? Is there a bunch of you that share information? Do you kind of break it down, or do you have just you and Wesley Gore?
It's funny. This is a funny story. I called up Wesley because I think like Tyler and JT, like, I don't know how everyone's separated over the rest of the rookies, but I called up Wesley. I'm like, dude, this is not a whim. Like, I knew him, but I didn't I didn't know him, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to go for this. I think Wesley's a good dude.
Yes,
he is. I was like, dude, I called him up literally out of the blue. I'm like, you want a room together and share info next year on the Elites? He was like, yep. I was like, okay. And dude, it has been awesome. Like, me and him, We have our locations. We got everything shared. Everything.
Oh, man.
Everything. And I trust that guy more than I've trusted anyone in fishing in my life. Like,
that's awesome. There,
and that's a hard thing. You know how hard that is. Like, to have someone that you could be like, dude, like when I went to Fork and I found that shallow area, I literally called him up. I'm like, dude, come here. I'm like, come here. He came. He was like, I was like, yeah, dude. And then on Toledo, he was like, dude, you got to be out. You got to get out. You know what I mean? Like we work really well together, and it's obviously showed. He's beaten me. He finished 11th and then like sixth in his first events. Like, dude knows how to catch him, and he's a good dude.
Well, I've been around him with the Alabama Bass Trail and seen his name in the standings, competed against him, all that for years. And like, none of this is a surprise.
Right.
And yeah. here's what, like, knowing guys like yourself and guys like Wesley for many years and knowing your fishing styles, when it comes down to the question, well, these guys can't catch them without live scope. Let me assure you of something with Wesley Gore in particular. You better hope it don't go to the bank.
No, 100%. That dude can on a swim jig too. It his swim jigging.
Dude.
I'm fishing in the mouth of it, like in the back of this creek. I'm forking the mouth, and I'm throwing at the timber, you know. And I just see Wesley, dude. His trolling motor is on 100, and he is like going down the bank. He's like, oh, 5-pounder. I'm like, Jesus. This dude is
he's trouble
on the bank.
Trouble. And like, that's what people don't realize is everybody has a broad skill set anymore. I think like the versatility that you have to have to compete, take forward facing out of it. I think about a guy like Patrick Walters. He got his teeth kicked in smallmouth events the first couple of years he fished, and he's like, I'm just going to spend all summer up there and get better at it to become more versatile. So he can drop shot, but he can also punch mats in Florida if it comes down to it. Now he's added the live scope thing, obviously, to his game. He's fantastic with it. Is as dialed as anyone. But I think versatility, I think it's funny to think about all the magazine articles I read where it's like, well, if you're going to be a pro, you better be versatile. Now everybody's pissed that everybody's versatile.
You know what's funny too is, like I was saying to you prior, like, dude, I'm not that good at live scope. And I mean that. Like, I'll tell you when I'm good at something, I'm not that good at live scope. I'm willing to bet that I'm the worst out of the group that made the league.
The rookies.
I'm dead serious. I truly believe that. Dude, people don't realize the first time I ever caught him on a minnow, like truly on a minnow, was Toledo Men. That was the first time I sat out. I'm dead serious, dude. I use live scope for structure and to make a more accurate cast with a jig, a drop shot, a Senko, whatever it is, right? Like, I just use it to, like, and I can see the fish, and I'm good at seeing fish that are, like, glued to the bottom, like, next to a stump or something, right? But I'm not, like, these guys. I'm not as good as these guys. I'm getting better every day. Don't get me wrong, but, like, I use live scope for structure, grass edges. Like, I don't use it in your typical, Milliken. Milliken's really good at it. Like, going out there and deciphering, okay, that's a bass. You know, those are, you know, whatever, alewives or whatever they are, you know, shad. I'm not as good at that. Because, dude, I grew up fishing in New York. We don't have all that the South has. We don't have the, you know, crazy, like, you know, shad spawns. We don't have any of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I've always, and Tyler's really good with live scope, but I mean, he came from the same area. Like, we're structure fishermen. That's what we've done our whole lives. I've fished docks till 2021. I basically only fished docks, grass, you know what I mean? Like, dude, yeah. I'm in New York I'm not good at smallmouth. I only fished largemouth in New York. Cayuga, Oneida, I was on the bank. That's all I did in New York. And then Ronnie Moore had me in last year, right before the St. Lawrence. I was doing well in the points. He was like, let's talk about the St. Lawrence. We'll bring you on the podcast. I'm like, dude, I've been to the St. Lawrence one time. And then I finished 110th. The worst finish of the year.
So you do not like smallmouth fish. Like that would be the most stereotypical thing to throw your way. Oh, New York, dude, this guy on the New York, on the smallmouth swing, he's going to raise Cane up there. You don't like it.
I don't like smallmouth fish.
I did not know that about you.
Dude. Oneida in the open in 2022, 2 years ago, I caught two smallmouth to finish 21st. The rest were largemouth. Like I don't like smallmouth bother me.
Same. I love them, but they bother.
I love them, but I'd way rather fish for largemouth. That's why Brock Mosley was my hero when he went to the St. Lawrence.
Yeah. It was such a cool event for him.
Dude, I loved that more than anything because I was like, I wonder if I can fish for largemouth when I go to the St. Lawrence. And then I got pressured into like the smallmouth still, and it is. You can't really compete anymore.
Of course.
So, yeah. You know what I mean? But no, I mean, people don't realize that. And I told Ronnie, I was like, dude, I do not like smallmouth. I've been to the St. Lawrence twice now. Twice. So, you know, everyone always has, you know, their, you know, oh, Kyle's going to be good at smallmouth from New York. Like, that's not how it works. And that's the same thing as all they can do is live scope. Like, you don't know. People don't know, and they everything. And they...
Listen, dude, I read comments about me, like, for years, right? Just because, obviously, when you're this outspoken, people are going to love it, hate it, whatever. And I'm very fortunate there are a lot of low-lifers that do enjoy it, obviously. But I'll see people that will be like, yeah. Like, this was back with my former employer. They'd be like, yeah, you had to get a job because he couldn't catch him on the FLW tour. I was like, hey, homeboy, I started working there in 2005 at 22 years old, and they allowed me to fish the FLW tour. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I had a job while I was fishing, stupid. Like, you don't know anything about me. Sit down.
Yeah. Listen, homeboy.
Listen, like, my good, like, are you kidding me right now? Like, well, you know, he couldn't, his disastrous music career. Like, also, I was playing bars and writing songs while I, drumroll, had a job. Stupid. Like, I saw one the other day that said, and they just make me laugh, honestly. I saw one the other day that said, yeah, he had to start YouTube because he couldn't catch fish and he can't sing.
Listen, homeboy.
Buddy, my mortgage does not get paid with any of this shit. Like, understand?
Oh, God. Dude, you know what's funny is I, like, truly, this, I've had to, like I said, like, I'm a lover. I'm not a hater. I'm just telling you.
You ladies, like, out there.
Kyle. Like, I'm not a hater. I really am not. And when I am, I'm like, damn, like, that was...
I get it.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I shouldn't be a hater, right? I have to check myself once in a while. But I try to be open-minded to everything in the fishing industry because, look, we all just want to catch bass.
That's where it all starts, right?
Dude. Like, everyone, like, well, I don't care if you came from $80 gajillion. If you made it to the Elite Series, you are a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And you just like catching bass because you can't not like catching bass if you're on the Elite Series or in the Opens or and doing any of this, right? And, you know, I've had to, and on the flip side, I get upset when I get hate because I'm like, and I know I'm going to learn how not to, but like, I'm like, damn, what did I ever do to this guy? Did I piss him off? Did I, like, I, because then I go to me, I'm like, why is he so mad at me? What did I ever do to deserve that hate?
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And I kind of get in my head about it. Like, I was sitting there and I, you know, was thinking about, like, dude, I got some haters in New York, right? I'm like, what did I ever do to piss them off?
You were successful. Successful. That's what happens, man. I actually, before I had you on, I was talking about another show. I use the term loosely, but that was just, the guy has bashed me a good bit over time, and I've never really publicly addressed it, but I did this week because it was just absurd. And people do those kind of things, man, because they are, it's a jealousy thing for sure. And they, and look, I have faced that much, as you said, like, you respected your bass club, but you decided to, you could not make it work by doing that. I've done that a couple times in my life, whether it was like I was 16 or 17, like I begged my dad. I'm like, hey, can we fish tournaments away from where we live? Because right. If I want to do this, like, I want to meet more people, I want to see different lakes. And for me as a kid, like, I loved that world of wonder, right? Like of rolling up to a Lake Martin that was 3.5 hours from my house. I'd never seen anything like that, or Smith Lake or the Coosa River, you know, all these different Lake Seminole, like all these different places when I was like, I got a crazy education when I was in high school, but I left. But then you would start to hear the whispers. And this is pre-social media, but of the guys that to your face were always like, oh man, Luke, we want you to do good. But then when you don't do good, you hear the whispers. Well, yeah, I could be a pro, but he ain't. He's this or he's the, you know, and all these things, man. And it does happen, and it is jealousy. And I think what you'll find though, Kyle, is you do have a lot more fans than you do haters, and you will realize that over time. And where I got with all of it, and I talk about comments, and every now and then there'll be a zinger where I'm like, really? And it'll
kind of hurt.
You're like, oh, every now and then. For me, it was like, people come at your family or personal stuff, like that's too far. Like that's ridiculous. Yeah. I've had that happen multiple times. And that's kind of crazy. But where you'll get with it, man, is, and I say this all the time, is spend your energy. This would be my old man suggestion to Kyle Patrick. And I know you know this. In fact, Cat Newton taught me this. And I've said this on the show for all the low lifers going, gosh, we get it. We've heard this before, Luke, is spend more time on the positive comments than you ever do the negative. And what I mean by that, if somebody goes, Kyle Patrick, I'm a super fan, don't just hit them back with, thanks, man. Thumbs up. I appreciate it. And then some guy goes, Kyle Patrick, you're a piece of crap. And then you'll give him a paragraph.
Right.
Like that's where you got to get with it. And for years, like I did, I would go, somebody be like, dude, I listen to this show every time my wife gets a chemo treatment and it gets us through the hard time in our life. And I'd be like, thank you so much. And then some guy would be like, I think you're a fat piece of shit, Luke. And I'd be like, you know what? You know, it's not okay. Right. Like that, like to give that negative energy more negative, right. Just not. Right. It's not okay. And I did that on this show. Like I need to heed my own. Like I did a 5-minute diatribe on why this fat idiot in Florida is indeed a fat idiot for talking.
Oh God.
Too much Celsius, Kyle. Hey, also Celsius, get at me, man. I see y'all sponsoring some podcasts. Come on, Kyle, you know anybody at Celsius? Send them my way.
Look, if I did, I'd be all over that.
Same. I would have sent so many like emails like you did when you were younger and fishing, and you're like, will you please sponsor me?
Take a look at my resume.
Dear Celsius on Instagram. Dear Celsius, I love your drinks. Will you sponsor me?
Dude, you know, how many emails I get like that?
I sent so many of those when I was in high school. I would type letters and print them out at school, like take them to local business and be like, dear Shell gas station, I am Luke Duncan. And I've received so many of those resumes over the years at TH. When high school fishing started, it would be like, here's my resume. And on it, it'd be like, fished with Bill Dance one time.
I've filled up at your gas station every day.
Your burgers make me so happy. I would love to promote them to 7 people in my best club. Thank you for the consideration.
Dude, oh God.
We're off the rails, Kyle Patrick. I'll put it back on the rails.
Yeah.
I don't even know how we got there. Again, Celsius. Ding, Celsius. Everybody's trying to get Justin Hamner a freaking Milo's deal. Get Luke Duncan a Celsius deal, people.
I agree.
Everybody tag Celsius and Kyle Patrick. Get Kyle and I both a Celsius deal.
That's perfect. Kyle. Have you seen me on? That would be the best advertising for them.
You I'd don't
like,
need it.
Interview me in the morning. They're like, hey, guys.
You do not need it. I feel like if you drink a delicious Celsius, Kyle, that it might counter whatever you got going on.
Like all of a sudden I'm in the morning, they're like, hey, Kyle, can you do an interview? I'm like, yeah, man, like, you know, it's been just a chill day.
You had an edible. Like, yeah. What's doing?
Oh,
God. This is, I don't know if this is going good, but I'm enjoying it.
I am too.
It's amazing. This is why I wanted Kyle Patrick on here. All right, let's get it back on the rails. We're talking about haters and that kind of thing. Man, you guys this year, and I say you guys, the rookie class, I feel like this rookie class has a bullseye between its shoulder blades more than ever. And there's always kind of a boys club mentality in all things, whether it's a new job, whether it's the fishing industry, whether that's sports, right? Like a locker room mentality where the freshmen come in, you're like, and the seniors are like, hey, man, this is our time to shine. Sit down, shut up. And in fishing, like, there's a little bit of that that goes on when you qualify. There's a little bit of, we've been here, you're here now, like, go over there, know your role, because the veterans forever in the sport, and I think you would agree, they had the upper hand. They did have the upper hand, but this is pre-YouTube, pre-Google Map or Google Earth, all the information being out there that they put out there, and their sponsors made videos, and there's endless hours of content that you guys can study, and then that meeting the tech at the same time. You guys know how to practice. I think you go daylight to dark harder than anybody I've ever seen. That certainly happens. But talk a little bit about, because you and I have texted about this, and we don't have to, I don't want to call out names or anything like that. But you guys haven't been welcome with open arms for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part.
There's some underhanded comments on things.
It's not me. That's what I want to be clear. Like, it's not, I'm looking at this from an outside perspective, because like we talked about, I had, like, you know, I met some legends and became friends, Gerald, you know, John Cruz, like all these guys. So I have an immense amount of respect for every single guy on the Elite Series. And I won't ever, like, I'm a fan to them. They're my mentors. I look at them like, this is, you know, who I want to be. Like, right, because they've been in it so long and they have such a big fan base, they do such a good job on social, you know. John owns bait company, right? Like, successful one, very successful one. You know, and those are just two examples. I just want to be clear when I come
sure.
Not like I'm saying that they're the negative, because they're not. They're nothing but helpful,
very supportive.
But I think the rookies as a whole, especially the younger ones, especially the ones that have been having like immense success, like Trey and, you know, Milliken, right? Because he has a huge following, right? I think that there is some hostility because it's like the new age colliding, like you said, with the old way that this has been going, right? It's a mix between that and the success that the rookie class has been having. Also, live scope is not helpful to the whole equation. Like, this equation, and then you put live scope right here, dude. It is like,
just gave all of them. They've all been put. So listen, I got to say this. There was a guy that stood on stage. I won't even say his name. There was a guy that stood on stage. I've been tagged in this speech 100 times, talking about how forward-facing sonar is this and that and whatever. This same man won a Bassmaster Classic recently and stood on the same stage and thanked Garmin and LiveScope for helping him win not very long ago, but now it is the devil, Bobby Boucher. And, like, there's so much hypocrisy in all of that, but the same dudes that have been sponsored by Garmin and trying to sell it since before anybody knew about it are now like, whoa, mule. I don't like this. And you're allowed to change your mind. I do it on a minute-by-minute basis. God knows. There's no problem with that. But I'm just saying, like, the fact that it is has become an excuse. And, dude, the fact that it is just – it's visceral. And I do think, Kyle Patrick, I'll say this to you. Something's coming. Something's going to change.
I guarantee it.
Something's coming. And this is – and the reason I say that is – you know, I work with a tournament organization or two, but at the Classic, there were rumblings that there are conversations, and I don't know to the exact detail of what the conversations are, but something is definitely going to change. Now, is that limiting it? You think that's where it's headed?
Look, I don't care. If you're going to ban live, you better ban 360. You know what? You better ban side imaging. I want to have two units. If you're going to ban live scope, there's two units on the boat, a map and a flash scope.
No, so I want
to dare go back to where, you know, when side imaging came out and a couple guys dominated on side imaging and they were okay. Said a word.
And they were okay with that. They were okay with
that. Yeah. So if we're going to do that, I want to go back. If we're going to go back one step, I want to go back all the way. In fact, might as well not even put a graph on the front of the boat.
Hey, I'm here for it.
I'm just saying. John Toxic. And that may be extreme, but what I'm
sorry to cut you off, but I think it's important to say this, and I've said it multiple times. It is not extreme, because when you start banning things in the outdoor space, it's like the gun argument and all this, right? Like if you start banning one specific thing and you give something an inch, then they're going to take a mile. And so you can't with a straight face say, and live scope's got to go, but then we can keep 360, which is an amazing tool and a great product. And, side imaging, mapping, dude, digital map. Give me a freaking break. If you don't think it's an advantage to be able to drive around and know where the hell you are without a map blowing around in your face, covering you up when you're running into standing timber. Oh, and I can also adjust this for the water level that we're at right now. And I can know exactly how everything, like, get out of here. If you don't think that makes people more dangerous as pros when they attack your local body.
I made the Elite Series. Literally hummingbird mapping. Okay, Lake Master. It's the only reason I can contribute my Elite Series berth to Lake Master. And that's not because, like, I'm being completely honest. Like, that is, dude, I can go into Google Earth. I can draw down the water to a year that it was low. I did this in Oklahoma. I finished 11th in the open there. And I stayed off my fish like an idiot on the final day, which I'll never do again. But that's another story. I drew down the water. I found every foundation, every stump, every rock pile. I marked it on Google Earth. I put a little pin on Google Earth, and it has the coordinates. I transferred all of that data right onto my hummingbird. So when I rolled up day one of the freaking open, I had every single thing already marked on my graphs. And I pulled up. Oh, there's a 4-pounder. Boom. I don't need a live scope for that, dude. I'm sitting on top of a foundation. It's got like 10 bass on it, and I'm dragging my biffle head. Like, there's technology out there that is way better than live scope.
Oh yeah. Well, and like, you know, talking to people like Garmin, who I've known for very many years, and a lot of great people from engineers to sales folks there, what they think the next, like the scariest tech that they have sitting in their hands is mapping.
Yeah.
Legitimately. Like what they think the future is mapping. Like if you ask them dead on what they think the next groundbreaking thing, that's what they think it is.
Oh, I guarantee it. Can you imagine knowing, like we get to a lake, we have really good mapping, but can you imagine knowing every tiny detail of the water?
That scares me more than anything.
That scares me more than anything. That secret rock pile, that secret ditch, that secret... Dude, it's all gone. With a one update to your unit. Gone. That's, everyone in their brother knows it. You could buy a $1,000 unit, put it on your boat, connect it to batteries, and you're gone.
Yep. That scares me more than anything live scope. And like we've said, look, man, if they took it away tomorrow, I'd go back to skipping a jig down the bank like I do anyways, right? Like I love it, I mess with it, but I'm not fishing at that competitive, like where you're at. Like I would only do it most likely if I was if I'd have been at Toledo Bend, that's probably what I would have gone to do. I would have just said, all right, this is where it's gonna go down, I better get my butt out here. But there's a difference in saying that too, and I've said this multiple times, and committing to it, right? Like there are a lot of veteran guys, they all have it. But they do get caught up in, just like I do, well, hell, I'm going to go flip that bush over there. And the 2 hours you went to do that, somebody's out there train wrecking 7-pounders. That's the scary part for everybody.
And yeah, I mean, and I think that, you know, you have someone that gets up on stage and says, I caught 8.5 pounds and live scopes the devil. And you're looking at them like, how? It's one thing if they were out there catching. And I'm not throwing shade. I'm just saying, like, it's hard for me because I see both sides. Like I said, I love fishing. I love the fishing industry. I have no hate towards any particular person. It's the arguments that I need to see the argument in order to adapt, to say, okay, that's a legit argument, right? But whatever happens, you can't stand up on stage and catch 8.5 pounds and tell me that live scope's the reason, right? Because that's essentially what people are doing. And there's certain people, very few, that are that get up and they blame their performance on LiveScope. And it's like, okay, if you were catching 22 pounds on the bank and then not making a check, right? You could say, you know what, this is getting out of hand. Like, I'm catching them on the bank and I'm getting beat by LiveScope. That's really not happening. Maybe it is, but I think there's a lot of guys. I don't know. I don't want to get too into it, but you know what I'm getting at. Like, you can't
lean on it as an excuse. That's right. For sure. To me, perfect scenario, and this is just me as a fan, and I think speaking for all fans, and I've said this on the show many times, I think it would be cool to have a mixed schedule, right? Like, where every other event would be very cool to go, okay, well, this one you got it, the next one we don't. And then if there are eight events, seven events, whatever, how many do you guys have? Eight all the way around? Even eight? Nine? So it's an odd number. So my thing would be, like, if you did 5 and 4 this year, then you invert it the next year.
Yeah.
Like, I think that
problem, though, Luke, sorry to interrupt you. Here's my problem with that. The sport, right? We want to legitimize the sport of bass fishing. And that's the goal for everyone, right? Like, whether it's you, whether it's Chase Anderson, right? We want to legitimize the sport, bring more audience. Like, you got to have consistency.
You don't
see the MLB going, okay, now you can use a aluminum bat, and then now you can use a cork one, right? Like, I don't know if that's baseball. I'm not good with that stuff, but yeah, you know what?
And I'm from. It's all wooden bats. It's all wooden bats.
Right. But you know what I'm getting at, right? Like, you can't have. If they're going to ban LiveScope, it needs to be banned, and that's it.
I would agree with that.
You know what I mean? Like, because then you're going to have so much. Oh, well, this one. Now he won that tournament with LiveScope. So, asterisk. He won that tournament.
I see that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if that could work for the sport.
I think for legitimizing the sport, we've seen this with MLF and the BPT in the constant change and the constant shuffle. And then these are the rules and these are not the rules. And we fish 72 days and then, but we do this and the cuts are here. And like all of that definitely breeds into what the hell's going on. Right. And even very, very, very dear fans of the sport can't keep up. They don't know what's going on. So if the hardcore fan can't keep up, then a casual fan certainly isn't going to stop on FS1 and be like, well, last week they did this. You know what I mean? Like, I get that. That's a great point, man. The letters B, A, and N are almost as scary as FBD. B, A, and N, the word ban, man, it scares me. And I didn't like it when they banned the Alabama rig. I hated it. I was like, I don't agree with this at all. Because as we've seen in events that do allow it with only a certain number, like, it doesn't dominate. Like, it just doesn't. It had its little time to shine. And then so I didn't necessarily. Now, it was deadly for a little bit. And I get why people were scared of it, I guess. But the word ban, man, it's a that's a slippery slope. I cannot express that enough. It's exactly like I said earlier in the show, that BPT anglers shouldn't be proud that Watson was suspended. Like, there shouldn't be one guy in that group, because that takes away your freedom, right? It does. Like, if you can't speak up about what's going on. So I would say the same thing about banning it. Like, who wants to give an organization that kind of power with something that's been out since 2018?
Right.
Limit it, whatever. But I don't know. It's and I know, listen, man, this is the hot button topic, and I've seen people talk about this, man. People only do this for views. They only talk about it. Like, it's a real deal. Like, it's as big of a story that we've ever experienced in this whole shooting match, man. Like, it's a paradigm shift. And dude, I think I saw more negativity between Red Crest and the Classic comments. Just fans, like, nobody's happy for anybody anymore. Like, the overwhelming amount of people that are just super negative and immediately just go there, like, it's disgusting. And then you see Randy Blanket and the fact that he's got 100,000 subs, you know, and look, much respect, like, get it, dude, get it while the getting's good. But like, people breed into that negativity. It's wild, man. It's wild. It's not this one thing. Cause I'm like, I don't care if you win on a crappie jig, Kyle Patrick. I will be excited for you. Or if you catch them on 37-pound line in a swim bait this long, I will be equally as excited, and I will watch it regardless. Right. But I love the sport.
Yeah. Yeah. And so one last thing I'll just say about like the you know, new guys versus the old guys. I think I talked about this on a freaking Pangrack with Pangrack.
Panger?
Yeah, Panger. You know, I don't expect them to like welcome us with open arms. I mean, right? Like, dude, I was on sports teams. I played college soccer. I was in a fraternity. Like, I know what it's like, right?
Pecking order. There's a pecking order.
There's a pecking order. And look, I know there's a pecking order. Dude, for one second, if I ever try, like, I have never once, like, for example, like, you know, when I was at the bar, I was hanging out with at the Classic, and I was like, I got to buy these suckers drinks because they're the legend. They're the people I've watched. I'm not going to go in there and, you know, sit there like I'm like one of them yet, right? Like, I bought the boys drinks. Like, there is a pecking order, and that is how it's done, and I understand that. But I think sometimes it can get a little over the top, like people saying, other pros saying to other new pros, right? I witnessed this happen. You couldn't catch them without live scope. Yeah. Like, bro, come on, man. Like, this guy's 22 years old. give him a break. Give him a break. You know, like, I don't know. It just seems that there are instances, like, not like overall, like, the way it's happened. There are small instances that I look at and I'm like, I lost a little respect for that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I lost a little respect for that guy. And like I was telling you before the show, I gained a lot of respect for Bill Lowen, because after Fork, I got a century belt. It was crazy. Like, that is unbelievable. He came up to me and he shook my hand and he was like, hey, good job, man. Right? Like, no matter how hard we're competitors, we both love the sport of fishing. And he came up and he was like, he acknowledged it, right? He was like, hey, good job. And I hold him to, he is someone I respect forever.
Class act.
Right?
He's class act.
He's a class act. He came, it doesn't matter if he hates live scope or not. He came up, shook my hand like a competitor should. Every end of every sports game, there's always, we shake hands, right? And that we don't need to do that in the bass. It's not like we need to all line up and shake hands and walk past.
Especially if like dudes are like, you know, I like it when the line in March Madness gets a little heated because there's going on under the goal. I love that. Like, if somebody's cutting somebody off and then we all got to go, good game, good game, good game. At the end of somebody's
exactly.
Grab somebody by the jersey.
Yeah.
Do something. You ever come in on me again, you piece of garbage. I'm here for that, dude.
Yeah, yeah. We all got to get mic'd up too.
Oh my God. Yes, Kyle Patrick, that's your next social media venture.
Can you imagine?
I can imagine people not having sponsors anymore. And because here's the problem with the entire sport of fishing, and it's why I think Low Budget Live struck a chord with so many people, is because right, wrong, or different, don't care what I say. And I do voice my opinion. There's a lot of PC things that get said on the weigh-in stage that immediately backstage don't get said.
Yeah.
It's life in general when the camera's on, right? A lot of people are like, right, well, I sure do love everything about all of this. And then they walk away and they're like.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
For sure. But it's amazing. Oh, my goodness. All right. Real quick. I've kept you forever. I appreciate you spending some of your Easter weekend with me. Let's talk Classic real quick, man. Like, I was all your posts leading up to it. It did, man. It gave me chills. Like, you won Lake of the Ozarks to get there through the opens, the win, and you're in. I have no doubt that you'll be back next year. Long way to go. A lot of events left, but you're off to a great start. It's not easy to make that Classic. Everybody knows that. But you got a taste for it now, and I bet as hard as you work, you're going to work even harder to make sure you're there in Fort Worth. Yeah. What was the overall experience like, man? Because I know it's a whirlwind. You come in way before the event starts for a pre-practice. It's a week out. You got 3 days to kind of sort it out, and then the whirlwind starts. So kind of take me through your week and to end up with a top 10.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. So we'll forget the fishing for a second. Like, all of the media and all of the excitement, the fans, like, you know, the podcast leading up to it, like that, I get so excited by that because I've looked forward to Classic Week every day since I was 12 years old, right? Like that's what, and the fact that I was fishing in it, I had to turn off my phone. I had to like put everything off because I'm fishing and I'm like, holy smokes, I'm practicing for the Bassmaster Classic. Like it's a surreal, it was such a surreal, the whole thing was a surreal experience for me. And it was hard to take that in and practice well and compete. That's what makes it so hard. But you know, just I just tried to relax, and that's sometimes hard for me. But it was an amazing experience. And you know, I found some fish. I did my classic, like this is what I do in tournament fishing. I find one good area, a full area, and then I find like 15 or 20 spots. Like a spot is a 100 yard or 50 yard zone where I feel like I can catch fish, and it could be on rock, it could be on a stretch of docks, it could be so I in the back of a pocket, in the front of a pocket, I had all of it, but it were only tiny little areas. Maybe I got one or two bites, that's it, or maybe even just one bite, or maybe even I thought it looked good. So I found that one area that I ran down to. It was in Drowning, and I started there, right? So I found Drowning, and then I had like 20 spots all the way to the launch. And I do that because if my main area A doesn't turn out, I can go try to refine a pattern. Because if I go through my spots and I catch one on rock, and then I go to a dock and don't catch anything, I go to, you know, the back of a pocket and wood and don't catch anything, and then I go to my next rock pile and I catch one, well, then I'm going to go hit my rock piles. So I basically did that on day two, because I struggled day two, and I found a deal. I caught a 6-pounder on this area, and I was like, dang, that's interesting. And I kind of had to go in. And then day two, I just expanded on it and cracked the biggest bag of the tournament. So that was super cool to see my process of practice pay off in a tournament like that clearly. Like I've never had it pan out to where I've been able to really find new water throughout, you know, the tournament. But the practice, the classic really sets up for that, because you get 3 days, and then there's like a 3-day break, and then there's one day that's only 8 hours. So like, it just felt good to know that the way I practiced and laid out the lake fit well for, you know, fared well for me in that classic. That was big for me. So that's like the fishing side, but then, you know, like the weigh in and having that curtain pull open, dude, like I'm surprised I was able to talk on stage, frankly.
Dude, I can't imagine really like that moment where your name gets called and they roll you through the arena. That's a redneck dream, man. Getting pulled in your bass boat to arena with music blaring. You kidding me? People screaming.
Dude, I had Led Zeppelin like banging in my ear. Like,
cool, dude. What Zeppelin tune?
Frick. What is it?
I didn't get to see. I didn't watch either one.
I'm blanking. Oh God. Or no, it wasn't Zeppelin. It was Motley Crue. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. It was Motley Crue. Why am I blanking on the tune? I'm not good at music, dude. I just like listen to the lyrics and. I gotta look this up so I can tell you.
Are you Dr. Feelgood? Were you Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood? What?
No, it wasn't Dr. Feelgood. It was God. Now this is gonna bother me, dude.
You're like, I'm on here with a music guy.
I know.
Cal Patrick.
KG. Start my heart. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
So no, it was just surreal, man. Like the whole thing, it makes you really want to go back. Like I didn't realize, like I always thought, well, of course I want to go back. Like I had the feeling like I want to go back right when I qualified. I'm like, I need to find a way back. But when you go and you experience the media, like all the hype, then you have a good finish, you roll through the, you know, arena, you know, you got the backstage stuff, like all of it, I'm like, holy, like I need to go back every year. Like if I miss a year, I'm gonna be pissed.
As you should be, man. Like classics make careers, qualify for that consistency with the total package that you got going on. Kyle Patrick, you're gonna do it, my friend. I appreciate you joining me, dude. It was an honor. I don't know what we accomplished, but I think it was a lot.
I have fun. Maybe I steered us off a little bit sometimes.
No. I do that. I'm very capable of that. But you know what? I'm the host of my own damn show, Kyle.
Yeah, exactly.
I can, but our two ADD minds getting together is dangerous.
We need to do it again
very soon, though, buddy. We need to do one in person. An in-person with Kyle and Luke might be a five-hour, like, Joe Rogan pod.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate you, man, very much. Thank you so much for taking time out to do it. Y'all make sure you're following. Tag all your social media channels right here. Make sure you're following Kyle. He's a good dang follow.
Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it.
Kyle Patrick Fishing. Everywhere on social media. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Luke.
Thanks so much. Well, all right. That's all she wrote with Kyle Patrick. Great stuff right there from the Bassmaster Elite Series rookie. I appreciate him taking time out of his busy Easter weekend to spend with us low lifers. Again, April the 8th next week will be the James Watson Spectacular. So you're going to want to tune in. It's going to be fun. We're going to break down the suspension and all of that jazz. I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in every single week. Means the world to me. I'm going to keep doing it as long as y'all keep showing up. So might do this until I'm 80. Who knows? This fishing world you get in, you never get out, and I'm okay with that. I'm going to take y'all out with some Biloxi Blues as always. And I'll see y'all next time.
Town to Tupelo.
Sweet.
I never could make it last. Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care. No, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne?
Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.